Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of Life Through Lyrics with your host, Chris Bennick. In this episode, I am exploring and discussing Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. If you haven't listened before, this podcast is meant to be an exploration of the lyrics to some of my favorite songs and how they have affected me or made an impact on my life. I will also dive into the history behind the artist that performed the song or the song itself. I do not profess to be a musical expert in any way. I have no formal musical training, nor am I employed in the music industry. I do, however, have a true love of what I consider to be good music. That's an important point to remember. The songs and lyrics discussed here are what I consider to be good music. That means these are just my opinions. Since copyright issues are huge, and my bankroll is not, obviously, I will not be able to buy the licenses to the songs I will be discussing. Therefore, I will not be able to play them or even clips from them. But I will encourage you to listen to them and consider my thoughts. So, with that having been said, please sit back, relax, and hopefully enjoy episode 3 of Life Through Lyrics, The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, because every song tells a story. Some just do it better than others. Anyone who knows me knows that I like to talk. Specifically, they know that I love to tell stories. I have, on more than one occasion, been accused of being just a bit too detailed, or taking too long when relating a tale to friends, co-workers, or family. I bring this up because the purpose of this podcast, and truly the reason behind it, is storytelling. After having recorded the first two episodes, I have been reflecting on why some of this music is so important to me, and why I feel it is important to share with others. In so doing, I have realized that for as long as I can remember, music has been a staple of my existence, and something that I have leaned on in good times and bad. I have always been able to find what I needed in a song. I can always find a tune to match the emotion that I am feeling. Sometimes, the songs I share won't carry a specific memory for me to talk about, but they have somehow just attached themselves to my life and become a permanent fixture. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot fits into that category perfectly. When I was a kid, like an elementary school kid, my mom liked to get up on Saturday mornings and go to yard sales. Since I was the youngest of four boys, and most definitely a mama's boy, I was generally taken along for the ride. Most of the time, I would get out and wander around the yards or driveways, searching for that one particular treasure that I just had to have, and that I could talk mom into buying me. But other times, I would get bored and just sit in the car while she went and did her bartering. When I did this, I would usually listen to the radio. It was on one of these mornings, a particularly hot one as I recall, that I first heard The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Sitting there in the front seat of Mom's Ford Fairmont, I was mesmerized. At that age, it wasn't the music that entranced me, but rather the story. I felt like I could see the water and the waves and feel the chill and the strong winds. I didn't quite understand the sadness then, but I knew this wasn't a happy story either. When I asked my mom about it, she didn't really have much to say, but one of my brothers told me it was a true story. That did it. The song stuck. I was probably 8 or 9 years old then. I'm 45 now. And still to this day, if the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald comes on, I listen to it all the way through, and it still transports me to a cold, windy November night on stormy Lake Superior, where, it is said, she never gives up her dead when the skies of November turn gloomy. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early. At 2:20 p.m. on Sunday, November 9th, 1975, the SS Edmund Fitzgerald, a 729-foot Great Lakes freighter, at the time the biggest on the lakes, left Superior, Wisconsin, bound for Detroit, Michigan, loaded with a little over 26,000 tons of taconite pellets, which are a low-grade iron ore. On board were 29 men, ready to make their final voyage of the shipping season and then return home to their families. Among those men was 63-year-old Ernest McSorley, captain of the Fitz since 1972. With over 40 years of shipping experience, this was to be his final trip before retirement as well. Unfortunately for him and all the other men on board, it was an unexpected and to this day unsolved tragedy that kept them all from reaching their intended destination. The Fitzgerald and her crew encountered a worse than expected early November storm on the lake. This time of year is notorious for its hazardous weather patterns, but this storm was worse than most. Through radio transmissions with other vessels, including the SS Arthur M. Anderson, which was between 10 and 15 miles behind the Fitzgerald for most of the trip, a timeline of events has been constructed, where Captain McSorley reports some damage to the ship and a slight list, but he never sent a mayday call or any kind of emergency call for help. In fact, just before 7:20 p.m. on Monday, November 10th, 1975, when all contact was lost with the ship, and it is believed she sunk, Captain McSorley simply stated he was holding his own. Many theories abound as to what exactly occurred, but all we know for sure is that the Fitz was gone forever. The wind in the wires made a tattletale sound and a wave broke over the railing. And every man knew, as the captain did too, 'twas the witch of November come stealing. This line gives me an ominous visual every time I hear it. I close my eyes and I can see the scene and feel the nervousness. You have to respect the idea that these men were in this together, and they were more than likely going about their business, doing their jobs, and working hard. I have always admired this blue-collar work ethic. The idea that you keep on doing what needs to be done, no matter the circumstances, and you take care of each other along the way. I feel like even though they know something is not right, maybe they even feel some fear or dread, they just kept on going, working together for the good of the whole and not the one. And based on the information I've read, heard, and seen, that is exactly what happened, right up until the moment the ship was lost. When supper time came, the old cook came on deck, saying, "Fellas, it's too rough to feed you." At 7 p.m., a main hatchway caved in. He said, "Fellas, it's been good to know you." This has always been one of my favorite lines in a song ever. The matter-of-factness of it. The lack of panic or fear on the cook's part. He is good with what is coming, because he knew going in what the possibilities were, I guess. I often wonder, though, since we have no way of knowing if anything like this actually happened, did anyone on board have any idea of what was to come? Apparently, this is the only part of the song that the surviving family members had any issue with. Some of them feel that these lyrics point the finger at the possibility of human error being the cause of the accident, because maybe the hatches were not secured properly by the deckhands. Interestingly, after years of investigation, it has been determined that the hatches had nothing to do with the sinking of the vessel. So, Mr. Lightfoot changed the lyric in 2010 to, "At 7 p.m., it grew dark, it was then. He said, 'Fellas, it's been good to know ya.'" To give some relief and closure to the wives and family members of the deckhands lost to the tragedy. This was very well received by everyone who is a fan of the song. A classy move by a man who has always treated the families and this event with the utmost respect and concern. The SSEdmundFitzgerald.org states that Mr. Lightfoot is very protective of the song and the wishes of the family members and in no way wants to exploit any of them, staying in personal contact with many of them and always being willing to participate in memorial events. Gordon Lightfoot had been working on a melody for quite some time. It came from an old Irish dirge that he heard when he was a small child of maybe 3.5 years old. He pretty much had the music down, but he hadn't decided what words he wanted to put with the tune just yet. Then, 2 weeks after the Edmund Fitzgerald sank in Lake Superior, Lightfoot read an article in Newsweek about the tragedy, which began by describing the Chippewa legend of Lake Superior, also known as Gitchagumi, never giving up her dead. The article was a rather dry story about the tragic events of November 10th, the disappearance of the Fitz, and the loss of the 29 men that day. Lightfoot himself says that this article was the inspiration for what he considers to be one of his biggest contributions to music. The song was recorded and released on his 1976 album, Summertime Dream, and went to the number one spot in Canada and the number two spot on the Billboard Hot 100 in the U.S. The song also received two Grammy nominations. Lightfoot only had one other song more successful than The Wreck. That was his 1974 hit, Sundown, which appeared on the album of the same name, along with The Watchman's Gone and Carefree Highway. Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours? Thus starts the part of the song where you realize they are gone. Though it is unexplained and unimaginable, this queen of the Great Lakes and her crew of strong, brave men have disappeared without a trace. Every time I hear it, even though I know it's coming, I still feel a sting when this part starts. I cannot imagine the hopelessness the people left behind must have felt, and some may still feel today. If you do any reading or research on the accident, you'll find that people did risk their lives that day and in the days to come to try and find survivors and rescue them, but there was nothing. In fact, because of worsening weather conditions on the lakes, it would be about 6 months, all the way to May 1976, until the wreckage was even found. No bodies were ever recovered from the wreck, so it is considered the final resting place of all the men on board. It is now considered a sacred place, so much so that the Canadian government, as the wreck lies in Canadian waters, prohibits diving or exploration of the wreck so that the men who lie there may rest in peace. As for what was left behind, Lightfoot gives me chills when he reminds us that all that remains are the faces and the names of the wives and the sons and the daughters. In a musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailors' Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald. In 1995, at the request of several surviving family members, and after months of legal wrangling, the Canadian government granted permission for a legal dive on the wreck of the Fitzgerald. The purpose of this dive was to recover the ship's bell from the top of the pilot house and bring it back to Detroit as a memorial symbol of the ship and her crew. This was a joint effort between several organizations, including the Canadian Navy, the National Geographic Society, Sony, and the Sault Ste. Marie tribe of the Chippewa Indians. They were successful in their efforts, and the bell was restored by Michigan State University. Another bell was made and etched with the name of each crew member from the Edmund Fitzgerald. This bell was returned to the ship in 1996 on what was the last legal dive to the vessel. The original bell is now on permanent loan to the Great Lakes Shipwrecks Museum at Whitefish Point, which is appropriate, as the lyrics to the song say, "The searchers all say they'd have made Whitefish Bay if they put 15 more miles behind her." Once a year, on November 10th, the bell is used in the annual memorial ceremony that takes place at Whitefish Point. The bell tolls 29 times for each of the lost men on the Fitzgerald, and a 30th time for the estimated 30,000 other mariners who lost their life on the Great Lakes. I have been fortunate enough to stand outside of the Mariners' Church of Detroit, which is the actual Maritime Sailors Cathedral mentioned in the song. I did so 2 years ago with one of my brothers, and I was able to take a moment and ponder that day and that place. Someday, I hope to attend the bell ringing ceremony at Whitefish Point. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I've loved this song for so long, or maybe it's just because the story is so damn good. This has been Life Through Lyrics with Chris Benick. I hope you enjoyed this episode and will consider listening again in the future. Also, please consider sharing this podcast with someone you think might appreciate it or find it interesting. If you'd like to reach out and discuss any of my thoughts, opinions, or ideas further, I can be reached on Twitter at @LifeLyricsPod, on Instagram at @LifeLyricsPodcast, or you can email me at lifelyricspodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you have a song you would like to hear me discuss, send it my way. Until next time, remember, if it doesn't make you feel something, it ain't worth listening to. Life Through Lyrics is written, produced, and recorded by Chris Benick. Music in this episode: Blues Infusion by Quincas Morera, Surrender, Coming Home, Not Forgotten, and Bring Me Your Sorrows by Dan Liebowitz. Take Me to the Depths by Midnight North, Days Are Long by Silent Partner, Elegy by Wayne Jones, St. Francis by Josh Lippi and the Overtimers, and The Current Blues by Freedom Trail Studio, all downloaded from YouTube Creator Studio. Special thanks to the following websites for the background information used in the recording of this podcast: NewYorkTimes.com, GordonLightfoot.com, USAToday.com, MentalFloss.com, MichiganRadio.org, SSEdmundFitzgerald.org, and MLive.com. And also a special thanks to my beautiful wife, amazing daughter, pseudo-adopted son, and all my friends who are supporting me in this selfish venture. I appreciate and love you all more than you could ever know. Also, Anchor.fm for helping out amateur podcasters just like me, because they have helped me to get published on their service, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, and Radio Public, and hopefully more to come. So until next time, everybody, rock on!